You might be wondering, what do healthy boundaries look like for my husband and his ex-wife's conversations? How do I know when those conversations cross the line from parenting to personal? Should my husband and the bio mom still have a friendship post-divorce and post-remarriage? Is there such a thing as being too nosy when it comes to being privy to conversations my husband is having with his ex? Let's answer those questions and more on today's episode number 180 of the Bold and Blended Stepmoms podcast. I'm your host, Jen Rogers. We're going to dive right in and we'll connect with the wisdom of Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend by referring to their book, Boundaries, When to Say Yes, How to Say No to Take Control of Your Life. Stepmama, don't you want more control? I know we do crave control, and we're going to learn a little bit how we can uplevel our own game so that we can change things for the good in our homes. Remember last week in episode 179, we defined some boundaries as being more like an invisible property line. This week, we're going to focus on this book with over 2 million copies sold. Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend define boundaries this way. It's a little different than what we talked about last week, yet it is symmetrical. Anything that helps to differentiate you from someone else or shows where you begin and end. Have you ever heard the expression, "She really gets under my skin"? The skin keeps the good in and the bad out. Cloud and Townsend use this and 7 other categories of boundaries. The next one is words. Scripture warns against giving to others reluctantly or under compulsion. See 2 Corinthians 9:7. The point is your words may initiate conflict. Your boundary may be disrespected, ignored, or even laughed at by others. Remember your uniqueness, sis. God created you in His image, and He commanded you to rule, to have dominion over the earth, to be fruitful and multiply as you subdue the earth with your husband. Check it out in Genesis 1:27-31. The next one is truth. You're living in the world's system. The pressures, the anxiety, the pushback on your right to rule attacks God's commands for you and God's purpose for your life. You must immerse yourself daily in God's word to stand firm. Okay, so far we've got skin, words, and truth as boundaries that differentiate you from somebody else or shows where you begin and end. The next one is geographical distance. I've shared with you the night I ran off to a hotel to get away from the pressure cooker in my own home. I knew if I stayed, things would darken and my words would wound. If I were to do it over again, it would be aligned with a previously communicated signal with my hunka hunka. Instead of me cramming my suitcase full of stuff, in my anger and my feeling of rejection as hot tears stung my cheeks, I rushed out the door because I couldn't leave fast enough. It would be more along the lines of, "Babe, I need some space and I've got to leave. I want you to know I love you, but I need some geographical distance." The next category for a boundary is time. Similar to geographic distance, taking time off can be a way of regaining ownership over some out-of-control area of your life. I know Bill and I just got back from vacation, and we really needed that time. We needed the time away from the day-to-day so we could reconnect with one another and disconnect from other people because we needed to focus on our marriage and our relationship and our family. All right, the next one is emotional distance. Doctors Cloud and Townsend caution this is never a permanent way of living, but it can be a temporary boundary to give your heart space to heal. The next one, consequences. Consequences teach that our commitment to living according to our values is backed up with kind of a barbed wire fence. Finally, one more way to regain control is to understand the boundary of other people. Your most basic need in life is for relationship. The other reason we need people is because we need new input and teaching. That's why you're here listening to this podcast. You want answers. You're willing to listen to new teachings and some old reminders about who God says you are so you can move forward. Drs. Cloud and Townsend emphasize this main point. Boundaries are not built in a vacuum. Creating boundaries always involves a support network. If you are on the periphery, wondering whether to use a bold network to learn, establish, and implement boundaries that work for you, it's time to stop peeking through the windows and come on inside. It's safe in here. In our Facebook community, you can build friendships with other women just like you. Whether you are on the hot mess express of newly blending, or you're navigating the challenges of dealing with difficult teens, or you're in that empty nest stage, there are new elements of blending and dynamic shifts in your relationships with your biological and stepchildren as you all grow together. So you're going to have new questions to seek answers to. Join us in the Facebook community. The link is in the show notes. Listen, if you are indeed that hot mess and you are exhausted and frustrated and annoyed and on the brink of divorce, you have the power to create change in your family through the power of coaching. I'm a certified professional life coach, and I love working with women. I especially love working with stepmoms because part of my mission is to prevent you from banging your head against the wall for years on end. I know it's really difficult to decide to invest in yourself, especially when there are so many unknowns. And that's why I want to share this testimonial from Rosie.
I would say to anyone who is considering mentoring, you deserve it. Your family deserves it. And it's completely different to any experience that I've ever had before when it comes to, you know, sorting out life or dealing with problems. It's empowering, and it allows you to take back control of your life rather than just having to follow a textbook. You will work, but that's what you're here for. And I guess I liken it to taking out a gym membership if you need to lose some weight or get fit, or buying, you know, healthy food to nourish your body. This is the same. It is so worth it. And I guess the question to ask yourself is, what price do you put on your family, and how far are you willing to go to achieve what you can imagine? And so I would urge you, give it a go. And I feel like I could guarantee that you will come out a completely different person, a new version of you.
Rosie, thank you so much for sharing your experience with professional life coaching. It is a game changer. If you want to know more about Rosie's experience, you can find her and many other beautiful women inside the Facebook group. Hey, stepmama, I see you. I know it's hard. And that's why this podcast was created with you in mind, so that you can stop focusing on all those things that are dragging you down and start using the power, the gifts, and the influence that you already have to embrace God's call on you as a stepmom. It's time to stop searching for those divorce lawyers. Instead, it's time to gain wisdom on dealing with difficult in-laws, outlaws, and exes, and become an influential voice in your blended family based on who God says you are. Hey, I'm Jen, wife, mom, stepmom, Jesus girl, pickleball lover, chief encourager, and new stepmama friend. Welcome to the podcast. I pray that this week's episode blesses you, encourages you, uplifts you, and most of all, I pray that you know you are not alone.
To recap what we talked about at the beginning from the Boundaries book, there are those 8 examples of boundaries: skin, words, truth, geographical distance, time, emotional distance, consequences, and other people.
The thing about boundaries, like everything else, is we can slice and dice and rename and apply all these labels to them. If all we do is talk about them or stew about them or experience frustration about them, nothing's going to change. And that's why last week in episode 179, I gave you 4 C's, and we're going to visit the 4C chart again today when we answer these questions. So these are the questions that came from Michaela and Katie inside the Facebook group. And these questions, remember, the question you're keeping in the back of your mind is this: how does this apply to me?
So you may not have a difficult ex, but there may be a difficult person that you deal with. So you can still answer the question, okay, in this situation, how does this apply to me? Is there something I can take away in the 4C method to apply to the relationship where I am especially challenged? So those 4Cs are calm, as in, how do you want to show up in a calm way? What can you do? Be clear, be consistent, and look to Scripture so your eyes are on Jesus to stay focused on Christ. So calm, clear, consistent, and Christ. I'm going to go ahead and lump two questions together. What do healthy boundaries look like for my husband and the BioMoms conversations? So when my husband and his ex are having a conversation, what do healthy boundaries look like? And going a little bit deeper, how do I know when those conversations cross the line from parenting to personal? Let's jump into the 4Cs. Calm. It's okay for me to express a concern about how I feel when my husband communicates with his ex. Clear. When you have conversations with your ex, I'm concerned about the nature of the conversations. I feel fill in the blank. You might feel threatened, concerned, fearful of her intent when she calls you. Often, I sense an underlying vibe in her tone, or I feel your tension as you talk with her. Your man doesn't need to agree with how you are feeling. Your feelings belong to you. However, a respect for your concerns and acknowledgement of them is imperative so the two of you can move forward. Let's assume you feel threatened. So an example you might give is the phone calls are incessant, they're toxic, or she's showing up at your home unannounced, or there's a continual change to the actual custody schedule. Consistent. No verbal abuse from the ex towards him, yourself, or anyone else. When this happens, you might use the boundaries from Cloud and Townsend, the geographic and/or emotional distancing. Calls stay focused on the kids. When the call shifts to the personal, have a one-liner ready to go. It could be, it sounds like you're shifting away from the kids, so it's time to end our conversation. Thank you. If it is contentious, the same calm, rehearsed response applies. If there's resistance, your husband could add, I'm going to hang up the phone now, or I'm walking away now. You might use some time blocks for responding. You might use a parenting app. And you'll need to provide specific examples to each other of personal conversations either of you define as crossing the line. Ensure you're following the parenting plan for your communications. Remember, as Lemon and I talked about in episode number 178, you are likely to experience backlash when a new boundary is set. So stay consistent. And a scripture that I came up for this one is from 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Let me recap what makes these 4Cs important. It's really your pre-homework before you have that conversation with your hunka hunka. It's for you to get clear in your mind, how am I showing up in a calm fashion? What specifically do I want to say about this situation? So the clarity here is, when these conversations happen, how do you feel? Do you feel threatened? Do you feel concerned? Are you afraid? Are you confused? There are so many different feelings that you can have. So your answer will be different from another woman's answer because all the parties involved are different. The point is for you to get clear on what you think this boundary would look like based on what you're experiencing, what you're seeing, the value that you bring to the table. You are the helpmate. So your eyes and your ears and your heart and your emotions are all important for you to share. All right, let's move to the next one. Is there such a thing as being too nosy when it comes to being privy to conversations my husband is having with his ex? This is such a great question, Katie. Thanks for sending this up. All right, let's go to the 4Cs. Calm. It sounds like you want a trusting environment. To foster that trusting environment to know that it is okay for you to have this conversation with your husband is that you are secure in God's word relating to the intimacy of a husband and wife. And this is why it's so difficult when the other woman is involved, because it just doesn't fit. It's not God's design. And yet we have all of these co-parenting challenges that we've got to deal with. And we deal with them for a long, long time. So the important thing is for you to show up calm and trusting that you and your husband can do this together and that you are secure, that God has put you together for a very specific purpose. Okay, clear. You might say, when you talk with your ex, I feel, again, fill in the blank. I worry there may be something happening that creates division between you and me. When you side with your ex, I feel, fill in the blank. Sometimes I want to be privy to your conversations, and other times I feel nauseated and sick when I hear or read your conversations. I want to trust you and your ex, yet the boundary for when I participate and when I don't isn't clear to me. So you may want to identify some clear boundaries of when you are a part of the conversation and when you are leaving it in your husband's capable hands. Again, this requires communication with your hunka-hunka. Okay, the next C is consistent. Similar to the first example, there are set times and types of conversation that are established. And this happens when the two of you identify how you want to manage communications with an ex. The fourth C in Christ, I have a couple of verses that I picked out. Ephesians 4:31-32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And the other one comes from Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So there are some things that we don't need to be involved in at all. And Katie, you're the only one who can decide for you what feels right for you based on what you know, based on what your experience is. Because let's face it, some ex-spouses, whether they're ex-wives or ex-husbands, boyfriends, girlfriends, or ex-in-laws, some exes are very, very difficult. And the interaction with them needs to be limited to protect you and to protect your relationship. All right, a friendly reminder, all of these applications of the four C's are coming from the brain of Jen. And your brain, your beautiful brain, is very different from my beautiful brain. And that is the power of taking a more analytical approach to those things that set our emotions off. If you want to get to the calm, cool, and collected that you are seeking and to tone down the animosity and ultimately remove the unnecessary angst that's happening in your blending process, do what Rosie did and say yes to personal, professional life coaching. It is life changing. I promise you that. Head on over to stepfamilypodcast.com/what-you-want. I have two private spots available for one-on-one coaching. If you're not sure if coaching is right for you, you can book an exploratory session and determine whether or not you want to move forward. All those details are on the website, stepfamilypodcast.com, or add the /what-you-want. Before closing out episode number 180, I'm going to respond to the last question of the day. Should the dear husband and the biological mom still have a friendship post-divorce and post-remarriage? This is a tricky question. First off, I'm going to throw out the should. Ask the question, is friendship even possible between these two people? And it really does depend on the people. And then I'm going to ask the question, what does Scripture say? And then I'm going to ask the question, what do we do with those two things and bump it up against all of the guidance that we've been talking about thus far for boundaries? Because a lot of times we need to keep ourselves safe and away from situations that are toxic or dangerous to us So this is situationally dependent. We know that Jesus has given us two great commandments: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The thing is when you have a neighbor that you're really struggling with, or an ex that you're really struggling with, it is difficult to love this person. So I'm not dodging the question here. Is friendship even possible between these two people? I'm asking more questions about the nature of the friendship and how both people in the marriage feel about that relationship and what concerns they might have. I think initially the best approach is the BIF approach: brief, informative, friendly, and firm. That is the nature of the conversation. And as you evolve together and as you learn to trust and grow in relationship with one another, and as you determine the need to protect your family, that will begin to give you answers about whether or not a friendship is even appropriate. There are a lot of people who ascribe to the not being alone in a situation with someone of the opposite sex. That may be a guideline that you want to have. So it is really, it's a very personal conversation. We know that God calls us to live in harmony, and yet we know that the divorce or the breakup happened because there was disunity and disharmony. So that one, I'm going to punt that back to you and encourage you to think about it on your own before you have the conversation with your hunka-hunka. What concerns do you have? Do you think it's appropriate? What scriptural evidence do you have? This is a very personal question and definitely situationally dependent. And your situation is likely to change, whether or not it improves or there's further, I don't know, let's use alienation as an example. That is going to contribute to the decision that you make. I think this is why we are called to be sober and alert and aware of what's going on around us, because Satan is definitely prowling around seeking to divide families. That is why we must be vigilant in every phase of our relationships. All right, sweet women, God bless you. I will be back next week answering more of your boundary questions. If you haven't asked your question yet, there is still time to submit your question. You can email us at friends@stepfamilypodcast.com. or join us inside the Facebook group, or click on the link and leave us a voicemail with your question. We cannot wait to hear from you. All right, sweet sister, I'll catch you next week. P.S. If this episode helped you, will you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts? Your review influences other women to say yes to tuning in to the podcast and growing the community. All right, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.